Please let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sweet presence under the covering of our fathers. We thank you for our fathers. We're so grateful. Thank you for, Lord, priests that stand in Jordan. Lord, we come to just pray that, Lord, you continue to minister life to them in their mortal flesh, so that they will continue to mount up on eagle's wings with new light to go deeper into your presence and to be found faithful in your sight. We also come to pray that as we gather this evening, you will grant me fresh mercy and unction from heaven, so that I will speak as an oracle of God. Let your word come with power, in clarity and in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal and eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will as you perfect our submission. Our minds further illuminated with revelation insight that comes only from you, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that, Lord, by the power of God, we'll be able to partake of your sufferings and become more like you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because as your word goes forth, I receive mercy to be faithful, to be concise, to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, but as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old according to your will. As your word goes forth, let yokes be broken, let heavy burdens be undone, let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, so I will lift up our head because of our redemption that draws nigh. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for doing more than we can ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I want to give honor to my fathers, Pastor and Mommy. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, ma'am, for the trust that you've given to me to be able to bring the word this evening. I trust the Lord for mercy to be faithful. I duck under your covering, and I pray that this word will bring refreshing to you and to my brethren in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, sir and ma'am. You will reap the travail of your soul and be satisfied in all of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, the Lord dropped a word in my heart. It's not anything new, but it's fresh, I believe, from the throne of God. And it's in 1 Kings. It's entitled, God's House to Dwell In. We are God's house to dwell in. And everything we see in the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, pastors shared that with us, that the things that were mentioned aforetime in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 6, and then I'm going to jump to verse 9 to 13. Thank you. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place. They had just built the temple. Amen. Into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. Now you must understand that they had built a temple. The temple was the final resting place. So they were bringing the temporary resting place into the final, because one swallows up the other. Amen. Amen. One swallow. So they were bringing that into the final resting place. And in verse 9 says, there was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. That's at that time. When the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Amen. So the glory moved from the temporary resting place to the permanent rest. Amen. It's going to do that in our lives too in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon. The Lord said he would dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. Now we know that it was a physical resting place. And the Bible says God dwells in the temples not made with hands. So this was a type. It was a type of what God wants to do. God wants to dwell in individual and collective temples. Amen. A corporate temple and an individual temple. And we are the individual. The Bible says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, okay? So we know that it's talking about us. And the glory filled the temple. And then he said, God has dwelt in thick darkness. Why does God dwell in thick darkness? Pastor asked me this question many, many years ago. I just looked at him and just smiled at me and just changed the topic. But today God showed me why God dwells in thick darkness. This is almost 30 years later. Can you imagine? Look at how far back we are. Amen. Why does God dwell? Because you and God are not made of the same material. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The effulgence and the intensity of light will destroy. That's why when Moses said, show me your glory, he said, no man can see my glory. So we have to move from man to God. But it says, I said ye are gods, small g. But we, all of us, are children of the Most High. But you know, we must make that transition from man to God so that he can fill you with his glory. So that you and he are not separate anymore. You are one. He dwells in the temple made without hands. That is the will of God. Amen. So he dwells in that thick darkness to protect us like he did. But when Moses drew near, Moses partook of the light and came back with his face shining. And that Bible says that's the old covenant. That's that faded away. We're talking about a new covenant. A higher covenant. This time, it's not just his face that will be shining. Every part of his body will be shining. Hallelujah. Like Jesus when he was transfigured on the mount. Amen. This is the glory. This is why we are Christians, brethren. We have been called to the obtaining of the glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Amen. All right. So God, this is what God is doing. Why does God dwell in thick darkness? So he does that. And then, of course, he wants us to seek him. Amen. You know, no, Bible says, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So that's why God dwells in thick darkness, so that you can draw near. Because you have to draw near, you must be seeing the invisible to draw near into the darkness. Amen? Because God is not visible. I mean, he can make himself visible, but he's spirit. So the man like that song, Father to Son, Spirit to Spirit. There has to be a spirit to spirit communication between Father and Son that makes the Son draw near into the thick darkness and find the Father waiting. Amen. That's the will of God. So, brethren, when we go into the time of prayer, it's time to draw near to God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Let's read it together. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are the sufferings? The suffering to crucify, use the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the nature of sin and flush it out. Amen. Those are the sufferings. Amen. And of course, you deny yourself food, you deny yourself sleep, legitimate pleasure, in order to give time to do that. That's what he's talking about here. So after you have suffered a while, make you what? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God's going to settle you. Amen. The real settlement. Not the Nigerian term. The real settlement. Amen. The settled place for him to abide in forever. All right, that's why what we're talking about tonight. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's sure. Brethren, you know, what is in my heart today is that we should not let that song, Blessed Assurance, captures it. Don't let your weaknesses, your failings, your infirmities, don't let them discourage you and let you and keep you back in the outer court. Because inside the holiest of all, your thoughts are projected on a microphone. So you can't afford to have thoughts, your very thoughts. Our very thoughts are such a big thing. That's why the Bible says that the king that reigns in righteousness, you know, the Bible says that he brings them. He scatters evil with his thoughts. We must learn to scatter evil at the thought level. Amen. So that we can enter. Because you can pray with travail and draw near, but you're going to enter with your thoughts and with your heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in your sight. It has to be acceptable to enter into that holiest of all. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what God wants to do in us, and He's going to complete it. Amen. He's the one working the work. We're just cooperating with Him. Amen. He's working in us, and then we work out what He is working in. Amen. All right. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. 16 to the end, really. And what agreement, I can't hear your voice. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? Think of it now as thoughts, imaginations, strongholds, things that have been there for some time. We're going to pull it down, but we have to flush it out. The stronghold is the lust that we have acted on repeatedly over time. A desire inconsistent with the will of God that we have acted on over time is a stronghold. An imagination is a desire inconsistent with the will of God that we have not yet acted upon, but we are set to do it. Amen? And the thought is when the thought comes in. When we have prayed, as we grow spiritually, we begin to demolish the strongholds and they move to become imaginations. They don't just fly away. If the stronghold becomes an imagination, then the imagination becomes, then you pull down the imagination, you cast down reason. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Give it to me. We'll come back here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Amen. But mighty through God to what? Pulling down of strongholds, irreverence, lack of transparency. As I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. Okay? Evil surmisings, unforgiveness, sexual impurity, immorality and perversion, deep down on the inside, they are strongholds. And we have to pull it down. Next verse. Casting down imagination. Give this to me in the Amplified. Thank you. This verse. Just this verse. Thank you. Inasmuch as we what? Refute arguments. When you are arguing with the Holy Spirit, self-righteousness. And theories and reasonings. Because the devil gives us a reason to do what we're doing. And every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God or against instruction. And we lead every thought, thought and purpose away captive, where? Into the obedience of Christ. Our destination is the obedience of Christ. But if you don't take care of the thoughts, it's going to be a hindrance, a stumbling block. But God's going to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you. So what agreement had the temple of God with idols? So we understand idols from that mindset now. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will what? Dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Next verse. You can see that God is really set to do this. Amen. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, thoughts. And I will what? Receive you. Amen. Amen. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, conformed to the image of the very first son, saith who? The Lord Almighty. He said the Lord Almighty is not just the Lord. The Lord that said this is the Almighty, the one with the incontestable right, incontestable power to do what He has said He will do. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to understand, it's something that we have to rest in the fact that he is heart is set to do it, and then let that give us the confidence and the boldness to fight against all these thoughts that are creeping around all over, because that's where we need to move, so we can move in and enter into the fullness of all God has for us. Amen. Amen. So God's fervent desire is that we come to know Him intimately, moving from the outer court, where our understanding is based on the senses, into the holy place, where we have illumination by revelation knowledge through the candlestick and the eating of shewbread, into the holiest of all, where only the Shekinah presence of God exists. Now, when God is pleased with us, it is evident in the light that flows from God to us. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 15. Proverbs 16:15. Let's read it again. In the light of the king's countenance is what? Life. And his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. He's talking there about teaching. Amen. So when you behold his face, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:6. To back this up, you can understand that two of them together. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right? So that is light that God shines. So we see that we go from light to light. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Our inheritance is in light. You are going to enter it one step at a time, one revelation at a time. As you obey revelation knowledge and walk in revelation knowledge, you're going to go from one into the fullness of all that God has. Amen? No? And the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is the revelation. No, and the excellency of the power to make it come to pass is what God is doing now in our lives. Amen. So that light takes us deeper and deeper into His purpose. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39. Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you. 38. Now the just shall live by faith or by light. Okay. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. We are not going to draw back in Jesus' name from this excellent, exceeding great promise of being conformed to the image of Jesus. We're not going to draw back. We're going to press in. Amen. Look at the length. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, will, mind, and emotions. Amen. Right. So we see that that's where we're going. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. And because that's where we are going, we must keep our eyes. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Next verse. While we look not at the things which are including ourselves. Amen. Including ourselves. No, because many times, that's Satan's strategy. It's like when you play a card game and there's a joker, you know, and you use your joker when it's like, the game is getting away from you. Use your joker to even the stakes or win the game. No, he throws the joker and he's like, look at yourself, look at you. We must take your eyes, see what he said. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we look at the eternal things of God, and we make them a reality on the inside in our lives. Amen? That's what God is saying. Not the physical. If you look at the physical, you're going to discourage yourself. We have three hopes. The hope of the things in this life, the hope of the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the hope of the resurrection. And we must keep our eyes on that middle hope, so that whether the fig tree does not blossom, when the vine does not bring forth its figs, yet we will rejoice in the Lord, and we will joy in the God of our salvation. It's important. God is encouraging us today. That we should lift up your head and look at Him. looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He didn't ask you to finish. He's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. All he asks is your cooperation and your trust that he's able to finish it. He doesn't have uncompleted projects. Doesn't have white elephant projects. Every project he starts, he finishes. Except we limit him. Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. We will not limit the Holy One of Israel. We will not create another image. So remove every image out of his, after that place. And let him come and sit on that place as Lord and God. Amen. That's what he's saying to us. Amen. God is going to help us. Amen. We look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. And we see Moses. Look at Moses. Please give it to me in the NIV. NIV, please. Thank you. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered. That's the fruit of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit. Because he saw him who is invisible. If you are not seeing him who is invisible, you cannot bring forth the fruit as you ought to. So our eyes must be on him. Amen. That's what he's saying. Okay. Look at John chapter 11. Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. Let's read it together. Verse 3 and 4. We read together. Then we jump to verse 6. Okay. Okay. Give me first verse 1. Then we do verse 3. Then we do. Thank you. Thank you. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. You know the story of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Jump to verse 3 now. Thank you. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4. Now, this is why you must not look at the things that are seen. You must always look at the things that are seen in the light of the things that are not seen. But on its own, it can mislead. On its own, it can discourage. It can make the heart sick. It can draw us back. When Jesus heard that, he said, that's not the full information. You are giving me incomplete information. The information I have about you, I've just said, is this. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Hallelujah. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What are you going through? It's not in itself alone. It's for the glory of God. Hallelujah. It's for the glory of God. The end of it is to work more and more glory into you and I. And you must see it in that light. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus loved Martha and his sister and her sister and Lazarus. So the emotional part was there, but the divine was superimposed on the emotional. Amen? Next verse. And when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You must understand, that is the pattern temple. That is the goal temple. That is what we're going to have to do today. And your son is this. Then we have to draw back. The first thing is not to react in the flesh. Is to pray. And find out what is heaven saying. While we are doing what we are doing. In the immediate. We still stay in touch with heaven. We don't leave heaven behind. And then we have gone ahead on our own. And trusting that heaven is coming along with us. No. We check what direction is the compass from heaven. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Amen. All right. And that light that God gives us, it affects every area of our lives. As you walk in the light, God has a way of making your profiting appear. 3 John verse 2. Amen. That's what he has promised. 3 John verse 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. But the key here is that we're not looking at the prosperity. We're not looking at the health. We're looking at him. Amen. And we are thanking him for the prosperity. And we are thanking him for the health. Amen. It's very important so that our eyes. And because many times, like Pastor preached beautifully about Asa, the good times are more difficult to handle than this, than difficult times. It's a trap. He lures you out of the security of the presence of God. and brings you to a plane where, in the senses, where he has the upper hand. It's an away match. You're playing away. He stops from playing at home. If once we're in God, we are playing at home. Anywhere he goes, we are playing at home. We have our fans, cloud of witnesses. We have everybody. Everybody's cheering us on. The Holy Spirit is there. The ref, the angel, everybody. The coach is giving instruction. And we know exactly the dimensions of the pitch. I know if I take this ball and I play. Sorry for those who don't love football. But if I know if I play this ball from here, I've tried this so many times, it's going to wind up in the net. So we're playing at home. But know what? He lures us out with his success and brings us out to a plane where here is based on what you see, what you feel, how it went. And God, brother, we must keep staying in the secret place. Don't come out. Like Nehemiah. He said, they told Nehemiah, he said, come and meet us. Meet us there. He said, come for a meeting. He said, it is God didn't call us for a meeting. It came out of your mischievous heart. He didn't go to Nehemiah didn't go to meet them. It must be like Nehemiah. Stay inside. Stay where the brethren are. Don't forsake the assembly of brethren gathering together. Stay where the brethren are. Stay where the will of God is. Stay under covering. Stay under oversight. And stay there. Nehemiah was the head. But he didn't say because he's the head, he will now do what he likes. He stood under, stayed where the brethren were, where he had taught them to fight with one hand and build with the other hand. He stayed with the brethren. And they could not Sambalat, Tobias, and Geshem. Satan, the carnal mind, and the flesh will not get you in God's presence. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. So what is God saying? So God is saying that this is what we should do. Now, how does he lure us out? No, because sometimes he lures us out by some things that we ourselves do intentionally. And we must understand and stop doing it. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 1. You know, this word actually came from a word that Pastor David preached on Sunday when he said that, why do you consider it incredible that God should raise the dead? It means that if Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, so let's read it together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Give it to me in the NIV, this verse, just this verse. Thank you. Give it 18. The wrath of God is being revealed, present continuous, from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Suppression of the truth is something that if anybody does, this is the result. Next verse. Since what may be known about God is plain. God says it's plain. It's so plain. Can't imagine the Pharisees didn't know that Jesus was Jesus. Yet the centurion just saw him and said, look, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Why? It was plain. Who made it plain to him? God. So we must allow God to be able to make invisible realities plain to us. Next verse. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, hallelujah, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Next verse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what we want to bring out here, we want to bring out the things that can take you out from that place that God wants us to be in communion and fellowship with Him and take us into a place where we are now operating at a distance from God. We are now separated from God. We are now, the communion is now broken, you know, and we may not know, you know. So this is important to know. What is suppressing the truth? But the King James says holding the truth in unrighteousness. You know, not accepting the truth. No, being dishonest. Being dishonest. You know, you see the truth and you, because it's not convenient, because it's going to demand a bit more. I know we all do it. You know, you should go for all night and you don't. And you say that mercy recover. Now, of course, there are some times when God asks you to rest. But you need to make sure it's God asking you to rest. Hello. If God didn't ask you to rest, just repent. No big deal. We're not putting you under condemnation. Just for you to know that you don't just... He's our Lord. We are His servants. We are growing to become sons. Amen? So you can't do what you like. It's training. And that's just the way it is. You know, except He has not revealed it to you, then you're free. But if it's something He has revealed to you, then you need to, as a servant, find out. I'm just using that as one example. Could also be with your finances. God says, do this with your finances. And that is my own. Yes, I can do what I like. No. You cannot do what you like. You do what He said. Because if you don't do what He said, you are suppressing the truth. And that automatically diminishes the amount of light that you are walking in. May we not stumble in Jesus' name. And you may be doing the work. You know, Bible says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? So you can do all the external things, but the heart is key to what you're doing. So it's important that we do so. Suppressing the truth is something we must be walking in the Spirit. That's what Pastor has taught us. Walk in the Spirit. Okay? When you walk in the Spirit, you know the life of God is flowing constantly. So the light of God is flowing constantly. So anytime you make that mistake, the Holy Spirit will be able to talk to you through the light that is flowing in your system. But if you're not praying frequently, then you need to start praying frequently. Amen? So, but God knows our level, each person. We're not all on the same level. Do you understand what I mean? So at your level, God will beep you. You know, and when He beeps you, don't, you know that thing that little children do. Don't give Him the shoulder. Amen? God will have mercy on us. Okay? And then verse 21 says, they glorified Him not as God and did not give thanks. When God does something, you know that it was God that did it. But it was done through you. And to the outsider, it looks as if it was you that did it. They don't see the God behind you. So you don't really give God the glory. You just, you sit on some of it. Bible says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. David was a wonder. A little boy defeated a Goliath. He knew it was God. They said he was going to be the king's son-in-law. It was a trap. He said he needed 100. He gave them 200. 200 forces of the Philistines. You know, is it a light thing to be called the king's son-in-law? 100 is even too small. 200. He was a wonder. He was like, oh God. The people that were submitted, if you read about the people that were submitted to David, you will be amazed. The things those boys did, the things they did, some things that were worse than what he did. A guy on a snowy pit, on a snowy day, killed a lion. A guy with one spear, with one sword, he killed 700 people. The Bible says that the spear got stuck to that. It became like one man, not an angel, one man.
But you see, it's the anointing. The anointing came from David. So what I'm saying is that David was a wonder. See the things the people after him did. They were mightier than him. As a good leader. Bible says, I am a wonder unto many. But thou art my strong refuge. David knew that his strength was in God. So when he didn't mind to be naked, if I'm naked today, I'll be excellently clothed tomorrow. If it's for God, though, I'll be excellently clothed tomorrow. I'll rather be naked for my God, because he is the one that has done it for me. And I'm not ashamed to say so. And we are seeing God is raising up young men and women all over the world now. Young men and women. Instead of going the rebellious way, they are saying, they say, give us, tell us about your inspiration. My mom is my inspiration. She taught me ambition with contentment. God is raising up people, man. He is raising up people, amen. So we give God glory. So what we're saying is that be part of it. Give God the glory. And the one that he did for you, give him the glory. If you didn't wake up with oxygen that day, what will happen? You're talking about the event. What about just waking up with oxygen that day? What about that? Did he measure the oxygen for you? If God should measure the amount of oxygen you are using, and you have used too much today, well, he not think about you. Give him the glory. Hallelujah. Our God is merciful, gracious, abundant in goodness and truth. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We give you glory and praise. We honor you for your exceeding goodness, long-suffering, mercies that you show us moment by moment. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. It's unto the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's what God is asking us to do, to give him glory. Like that man, that Samaritan, Luke 17. Verse 15. And one of them, one of the 10 lepers, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified who? He understood that it was God, even though he used Jesus. He glorified God. Amen. And came back to Jesus. Next verse. And fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. Amen. Both God and man. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. It means he was plain. Hallelujah. Do you get that? It means he was plain. Because he wasn't even an Israelite. It was invisible things of him were clearly seen. Amen. That's Pastor Larry's name. All right. Next verse, verse 17. They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Next verse. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So he went away with not just the healing, but wholesomeness. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's what God is. Those are the things. In the case of the remaining nine, it was an omission. It was a terrible omission. And like Pastor has taught us, there can be insufficient gratitude, but you use only your mouth and your money. The sufficient one is your mouth, praise, dance, your money, and your life. It's not complete without your life. It's not sufficient without your life. Amen. So we see that's what God is doing. All right. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And this is what happens. Ephesians 4, 17. This is not our portion in Jesus' name, but we need to see how Satan operates so we can understand and not fall into that trap. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Next verse. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of that. Give it to me in the Message Bible from verse 17. You get a clearer picture. I'm just going to explain it, but you get a clearer picture. Thank you. So I insist. Let's read you guys. So I insist. And God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. Next verse. They refuse for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. What is God saying? God is saying that, you know, having their understanding darkened, the light in the mind is a function of the will. You have will, mind, and emotions. Now, the light in the mind is a function of where the will has gone. If you suppress truth, not enough light. If you accept truth, light. Because the entrance of his word giveth light. Amen. So when you accept truth and accept light, then that even if it's just the fact that you honor God and you acknowledge him, it becomes plain. What was not plain before becomes plain to you. And in that light now, you know, that light now floods your mind. But the contrary is what we're talking about, where the suppression of truth makes the light, you know, shuts the door. But Bible pastor calls it the trap door of the will. And that trap door of the will shuts out the light that should come in. So it doesn't come in insufficient measure. So the understanding is darkened. Amen. And in that place of that darkened, you know, is willful ignorance. Bible talked about the ignorance that is in them. But it came from the will. It was the use of the will. Bible says, if any man will do his will, he will know. That's light. You know, but now he's saying that if they have the understanding darkened through the ignorance and because of the stubbornness of their heart. I want to do my own. Brethren, it's time to do God's own. That's what God is saying. So how do we do it? Because God wants to have mercy on us. How do we do it? Sincere repentance and humility in the fear of God. Amen. Confessing our sins. Look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. Don't argue. Don't argue with the Holy Spirit. Is it a sin? It's not a sin. What did I do? I didn't do anything. You are going back and forth. I agree with your adversary in the way. Before he hands you over to the judge. Yeah, it's sin. It's not sin. Just, Father, I confess my sin. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. There's no need. There's no point. There's no point arguing about it. You know? So, we're talking about, it's a constant thing that we have to learn. Now, and I'm trusting God to really help me here, you know, because this is something that you and I have to work on it consistently. That attitude of repentance is not just because you did something, it's there all the time. It's there. So you are easy, it's easy for God to get your attention. Sincere repentance. Look at 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's a cleansing that frees us from the guilt, frees us from the condemnation, frees us from the mistake. I know the devil tries to come and put it back, but you need to know that it's done with. It's been taken away. The word of God says it's been taken away. So it's been taken away. Anything that comes down, we have to cast it down. It's an imagination. And because it wants to attack that self-worth in Christ. And we have to have revelation of the love of God for us. And walk in the light of that. Okay? And praying from the fear of God. You know, reverence to God, to his word and his servants, brings us to the way of light. Look at Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Joshua 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, this is a temporary one now, okay? No, of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Next verse. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. What's he saying? He's saying that this way into the fullness of Christ, you've not gone the way before. We're just going the way. And there's light every step of the way. Amen? But that light is conditional upon leaving that 2,000 cubits. It must be enough reverence to God, reverence to those in authority, and their instruction. Amen?
It's very important, you know. And you cannot allow the distance to be too much. And you cannot allow distance to be too little. It has to be that exact distance. That is the watching. That's part of why we watch and pray. To keep our hearts with all diligence. So that we are watching, you know, and putting the life of God, putting the word of God into our hearts, and watching attitudes, watching our actions, you know, and making sure that we're doing what we know to do and what has been revealed to us to do. You know, if you omit to do it, thought of foolishness, or he that knoweth to do good that doesn't do it, it doesn't excuse you from it. The fact that I didn't do it deliberately. No, it was done. Father, I confess my sins. And then I look out for it now. I look out for it so I don't do it again. Amen. That's what God wants to do. Okay? The next thing is to keep walking in the life of God. Now, this is something that, I mean, because we're family here, and we taught this over the years, we're very conversant with these scriptures. But life of God is the substance inside God that makes God God. You know, and Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the tree of life. So we keep partaking of the life of God from Jesus, who is the tree of life. And that's important. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's take it from verse 3, I believe. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life, the substance, and godliness, the effect. So now, of course, you need to watch your thoughts and know. But it's important to understand that the more the life there is, the more the light there is, you know, the more the tendency to do godliness. Amen. Which is why we frequently and fervently pray. This is why we pray in the morning. This is why we do everything that we do. But it's so that the life can be there, can be flowing. But at the same time, you have a free will to keep your heart and keep your thoughts and make sure you do the right actions. So the two go together. That's what the Bible says. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The things that the eternal power and divine nature is clearly seen. The nature of a pig is a pig. The nature of a dog is a dog. The nature of God must be God. There has to be. So if you want to be like God, you cannot use the nature of a man to be like God. It's going to cause frustration. It just makes sense. The invisible things of Him. So you must have the nature of God. So you must necessarily immerse yourself in that nature. And let that nature immerse itself in you. Amen? Both ways. So by partakers of divine, having escaped the corruption that is in the world to lust. It is the partaking of the nature that allows us to escape. Amen. Into the rapture. Hallelujah. Amen. Ultimately. But, you know, that's what is that nature. So the more the nature that is flowing, and then the more you escape with the word of God. Next verse. And beside this, giving all what? That's that word. We must say it together. All. One more time, all diligence, add to your faith virtue. A certain amount of life carries the virtue. Then you keep, the more life you walk in, then you can add knowledge. It's an addition. You are carrying the superstructure of the love of God. And it must be carried on the nature, walking on the inside. And it's all working on the inside. So the next verse. And to patience, and to knowledge, temperance. Now, I think I missed, what was before knowledge? Virtue, knowledge. Okay, knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. Next verse. For if all these things be in you, and abound. How will they be abounding? By the life of God that is inside. That's how they be abounding, by the life of God. They make you. So God is making man. He makes you now, not just in His image as a human being, but now in His likeness with the life of God. Shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse.
point.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And this is the essence of when we suppress truth. That's the kind of person. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Go to the next verse. That's our portion. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather brethren, that's your portion. Amen. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. I didn't say it. Let's say it together. If you do these things, you shall never fall. So let's say, I will do these things. I will never fall. And you didn't say it with faith. Oh. Say, I will do these things. So I will never fall. God is the one going to make it stand. You just do your part. Amen. Next verse, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is where life begins. This one we're doing is just like a farm. We're just walking to see what we're going to be in this one. This is the real life. This is the real one. Some people they've destroyed themselves over the fake one. It was just a test. It was like, you know, in science, they do a pilot. It's a pilot. We just do a pilot on a small one just to see, can it work? We can make men God out of this. And then, okay, when we have made them God, then we bring them out and now they live this life. Amen. That's our portion. Amen. All right. Then number 3, we daily pray in travail. Romans 8:26, I beg your pardon. To crucify the flesh, you know, the sin nature that is in the flesh, you know, and the senses, and flush it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It's having therefore this promise, but let us cleanse ourselves. Leave it in Romans. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we can cleanse out that same nature and be conformed to his image. So let's read now. Romans. Let's read together. Likewise, the Spirit, every morning in Good Morning Jesus prayers, this thing is going on. So read it without understanding. Likewise, the Spirit is helping my infirmities, for I know not what to pray for as I ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next verse. He's talking about us now. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. Next verse. And we know that all things work together. The mistake is working together. Amen. Amen. The omission is working together. He's making it work together for good. For them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Next verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Next verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. How many people are called? And whom he called, them he also justified. How many people are justified? If he did calling, if he did justifying, what's going to happen? Then he also glorified. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. Amen. It's sure. It's sure. It's sure. It's a blessed assurance. Amen. All right. So we keep our sights. No, that's number 3. So every morning, Good Morning Jesus, 5 o'clock, come there with anticipation. He's called us. He's justifying us and he's glorifying us. Amen. And then number 4, we keep our sights set on going beyond the veil. Now Hebrews 6:19, we have 2 things he has given us that give us strong encouragement. We have the promise and we have the oath. He has sworn he's going to do it. And then he's watching over it to perform it. How sure? What else does he need to do to make it sure? He said it, he swore, he's watching over it. It's a done deal. We just cooperate in sincerity and in quick repentance. Amen? That's what he's talking about. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. We keep our sights. See, brethren, the suffering is the access door
to the glory.
The Bible says he made their high priest perfect through suffering. He's going to make us also perfect through suffering, through self-denial, not the cross. The self-denial so we can allow the life of God, you know, to be birthed in our mortal flesh. So when God says we should come to his presence, come to pray, no, it's a joy to be called. It's a privilege to be called. Because it's the people that do that that are coming out on the other side. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus to the things around him, you know, to things that he would have loved to do as a regular person, but that he could not do because he had to give time to God. That's the dying, you know, to die to make that sacrifice. You know, so you die to a certain degree, you die to those things, you know, of those that the life also of yours, you give now give time to prayer, time in the Word, so that that life of God and the Word of God can now work in your mortal body and be made manifest in the flesh. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Pastor taught us this as well. Hebrews 5, 14. So we keep this. We keep this Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We see ourselves coming out on the other side. Amen. Hebrews 5. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use, they've been using the weapons of their warfare consistently, have their senses exercised. So the senses have been retrained. So they're very sensitive to God to discern both good and evil. It is the life of God that is working in the mortal flesh that retrains the senses. So we stop responding to doubt and respond only to faith. We stop responding. So you find that our taste buds are unlike Ephraim. We have been poured from one vessel to the other. The oil of God has been poured from the spirit into the soul, from the soul into the body. And is overflowing. So our taste is changed. Amen. That's what God is saying. And we take away those thoughts. God will have mercy and help us. And that leads us into his fullness. And finally, thanksgiving. And Pastor has so taught us so beautifully. You know, when we pray, we're a temple, so we offer spiritual sacrifices. Sin offering, burnt offering. Sin offering is confession of sin. Burnt offering is praying with a heart full of life to crucify the sin nature that is. So we burn up the sin nature by the fire of the Holy Spirit through prayer. That's a burnt offering. And the meal offering is where we offer a meal of praise and thanks. We can do all together. So while as we are praying, you are giving thanks to God. As you are praying in tongues, you are giving thanks to God. You are thanking the Father, thanking the Son, thanking the Holy Spirit. It makes your prayer so refreshing. Makes it very meaningful. Thank God for fathers. Let's give up. That Bible says, Epaphras, you know, who daily labors in prayer, you know, and does it with thanksgiving. So I can stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So thanksgiving is, so it becomes a habit, and we take it out of the place of prayer into our normal life. We thank the people around us. If we look at Pastor and Mommy, one thing is clear. I mean, there was even a child that looked at Mommy and said, I don't know her name, but that woman that always gives thanks, Grandma Modupe. And it's practice, brethren. We practice it. That's what we're saying. We practice it. We practice praying. We travel. Practice walking in love. Keeping our hearts with all diligence. Thanksgiving. And as we do that, we begin to inch deeper and deeper and deeper into the presence until we enter into his fullness suddenly. Amen. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. It's not a new message. Was a word of encouragement to keep pressing in deeper.
the joy before him, for the joy that was set before him, the fullness of his presence, the fullness of his joy. Nothing compares to that presence. So we let that presence motivate us, and we endure the cross in his presence. We despise the shame. All that, oh, see what I'm missing. What you are gaining is way more than what you're missing in his presence. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Second stanza.
Perfect submission,
perfect delight,
perfect delight.
Vision.
Visions of rapture now burst at my side.
Angels descending,
bring from above echoes of mercy,
whispers of love.
That stanza.
Perfect submission,
all is at
rest,
all is at rest.
And I in my Savior am happy and blessed,
watching and
waiting and looking above
and filled with his goodness,
goodness,
lost in his love,
and lost in his love.
So we say, this is my story,
and this is my
story,
and this is my song.
Of our right hand to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you. We pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've sent to me tonight to encourage me, to understand that you have made up your mind to make me like you. So, Heavenly Father, I keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, for the joy of your glory, for the joy of being conformed to your image, I endure the cross. I despise the shame. I press in toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I walk in the light as you are in the light. I submit to truth. I walk in love. And so, with thanksgiving in my heart, in my words, and with my lifestyle, I will serve you a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is my reasonable worship. Receive my worship. I present myself afresh to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Thank you, Father. Jepa kasamare mako mane roba nikoko abababa kola bate tataruda allo babababa katomesa jefreke komakata rebobobobosele rombe belemane. In Jesus' name, amen. So what has gone forth in faith? If you have a need, I just want you in faith, just reach out to him. The invisible things of him are available. Tap into that healing. Lord, have mercy on me. And tap into that healing. Tap into that provision. That peace of mind. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray and say, Father,